The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. If you're hanging out on the YouTubes, I'm Will Brinson, I'm your host. If you're hanging out on the YouTubes, it is still Monday, December 20th. If you're listening to the podcast, probably Tuesday, December 21st. Good news is you still got more football coming on Tuesday. Two more games at 7 p.m. We are going to recap the both Monday night games. Joining me to do so, Ryan Wilson, John Breach. What's up, boys?
This must be what it feels like to cover Major League Baseball. I joked about that earlier. And Jesus Christ, a lot of terrible football. I love football, but that's a lot of terrible football on Monday.
You know, Wilson's upset when he's dropping the JCs 5 days before Christmas. My goodness, it's the man's birthday. Can you leave his name off your lips, Wilson?
Guy's turning 14 billion years old. Leave him alone.
Jesus or me?
No. Jesus is 2021? Yeah. It'll be 2021. Happy.
There you go. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Anywho, a lot of bad football. If you're watching on the YouTubes, we didn't expect a Jesus heater.
Shout out Charlie Whitehurst.
If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button. If you're listening on Spotify, and we're cool with wherever you listen to this podcast, we appreciate y'all. You're the best audience in the world. But if you're listening on Spotify specifically, they have introduced a new rating system 15 years into this, you know, music revolution app. And we'd love if you gave us a 5-star rating. All you gotta do is on your app, boom, 5 stars. It's brand new. They just started doing it. So hit it up, help us out, throw us the proverbial bone.
Give us a high five on Spotify.
That's much better than whatever I
just came with that off the top of my head. Crazy, huh?
Crazy. Insane.
I should be a writer.
Okay. I haven't really looked at the rundown. I guess we're starting with Bear. Where do we all start? I mean, with these games are bad. They're so bad. We'll start with the Vikings and the Bears and the insanity that was a 17-9 finish with a Vikings win over Chicago. The Bears shouldn't have scored 9 points because they scored the final touchdown the touchdown on the final play of the game. And we've already done that's why we're running late on starting this stream, is Breach and me and Wilson were digging through the rule book to figure out if they should have kicked the extra point. They should not have. I've never seen a team get 21 first downs, 300 plus yards, and 3 points, which is basically what they had after that garbage touchdown. Matt Nagy looked like he was going to punch a referee at one point.
The whole game.
I'm not a Matt Nagy fan, but I give the guy credit for it because I felt like that at times watching the officiating, and I have no rooting interest because I'm not a fan of whatever team, and this is not the Bears game, but throughout the season. And he was representing every fan who's ever watched a game and gone, what are we doing here?
That's what I imagine you doing with a visor on at your kids. Like athletic events.
Oh yeah, no, that's about right.
Like yelling at officials, coming out of your bald head with a visor on.
Officials making $8 an hour. Got some old man with no hair yelling and screaming at him. That's right. That's exactly right. That's a good call.
That's right. Yeah, we broke down the rule book discussion, Molly, off air, so we didn't have to do it on air. It did take longer than expected. The NFL rule book, very convoluted and annoying.
As was evidenced by the way the officials called that game.
We've seen some badly officiated games this year, and this was easily one of the worst. And one call I will point to right now, because it was a game changer. Vikings first possession after halftime. They're facing a 3rd and 17. And at this point in the game, it is only 10-0. So as bad as the Bears have been in offense, or it's 10-3. It's 10-3. The Bears are absolutely still in it. Vikings facing 3rd and 17. From their own, where were they? From their own 15-yard line, Dalvin Cook gets tackled for like a 5-yard gain. sure punt situation. No, the ref throws a flag and calls a Bears defensive player for a low block. This
for
is the guy.
Somebody.
This is the guy who made the tackle on Dalvin Cook, got called for a low block because he jumped at Cook's legs to tackle him and took out a Vikings offensive lineman while he was trying to make the tackle. Like, what are you supposed to do? So that play is a 15-yard penalty. The Vikings get an automatic first down on 3rd and 17 or 3rd and 18 or whatever it was, and then they go down and score a touchdown on that drive. Which, by the way, that drive also had a 3rd and 3 where the Vikings got stuffed for a 2-yard loss, and that would have been a punting situation. But then the Bears got called for unnecessary roughness, and again, the Vikings were given a free first down. So 30 yards on that drive came from 2 15-yard penalties that ended with a touchdown for Minnesota, and once they scored there, was 17-3. The game was effectively over. So, I mean, the refs basically gave them a touchdown on that drive, and that felt like the as bad as Minnesota was, and as bad as Chicago and Minnesota, it was just an ugly game, and the refs giving Minnesota 30 yards just doesn't help.
And what set Nagy off wasn't even those two plays, because prior to that, the pass breakup in the middle of the field where the defender, the Bears defender, hit the ball and then his forearm hit the head of the Vikings receiver. That's suddenly a flag. And by the way, when John Perry, the former NFL official who works for ESPN now as a rules official in the booth, is like 5-0 going with the opposite of what was called on the field, maybe you should reevaluate what you're doing. Just a thought. You got 7 guys out there, all wearing blinders, apparently. Again, no rooting interest, but I'm watching this game going, why? Why is it this difficult? And then, you know, towards the end of the game, Matt Nagy was flipping out because he was about to throw the challenge flag on a play that I can't remember. And magically, and this is Brinson's thing, someone in outer space said, hey, don't worry about it. Just pull a Costanza and do the opposite. No need for him to throw the challenge flag. What are we doing?
You guys are the ones lashing at the officials, so I don't want to go into a whole.
And again, you know, I don't even care. Like, I think it's sort of.
I don't either. It's the Vikings and the Bears. Who gives a crap? But, like, okay, a couple of things. One, the point about the. I mean, I'm not. Am I crazy? Am I wearing a tinfoil hat? And I just. And it's entirely possible. It's been a weird 24 months.
If you take your hat off, we can see your hair plugs and see if there's a tinfoil hat underneath the hat above your hair plugs.
It's been a weird 24 months. And or 18 months or whatever it is. And by the way, if you want some entertainment about it, you should definitely go watch the South Park COVID Part 2 special on Paramount Plus. If you haven't, have you watched the second one, Breach?
I have not watched it yet.
It is. It's good. It's
you
good.
Know what I did? Though?
Listen, you should watch it because they make fun of something close and dear to your heart.
I'll watch it if you guys watch Reno 911 Search for QAnon, which comes out December 23rd.
I was going to watch it. I even fired up Paramount Plus, and then up on the screen where they try to lure you in to watch something else, they had A Quiet Place 2, and I hadn't seen that. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch that. And then I watched that instead of the second.
Isn't that a movie about someone who kills people?
No.
It's about aliens who come and kill you if you talk. Which, if they lived here, you'd be the first one to die, Brinson.
Down hard.
Got a loudmouth dunk out of that.
Right into it. Right into it.
That was pretty good. So anyway, on the officiating thing, am I going insane? Did the NFL at any point announce a formal decision to utilize Central Replay Command more aggressively in games? They did not, right?
I'll say this. Like, I don't care if they get it right, but it is random.
I like it, but
it's 100% random.
And that shows up more in primetime games, first of all. Second of all, they never told anyone they were going to do this. And it's not like the NFL works for the government. It's required to, like, issue a public creed. They don't have to tell everyone what's happening, I guess. But, I mean, it's sort of weird to all of a sudden in the middle of the season start just flipping reviews like this out of nowhere. Like, Matt Nagy threw his challenge flag and they basically threw the guy a bone and said, hey, look, we're sorry about what's happening tonight. We're not going to make you use that challenge flag. We're going to overturn this for you. You get to keep your challenge. I mean, I don't know if I like this better or worse. I don't know if I like this Walt Anderson.
It's fine that if they get it right,
Shadow Command
fine.
Better or worse than I like Al Riveron's little lounging in his pajamas and drinking a Mai Tai.
Pajamas in the jacuzzi. It's better because they get these calls right.
Sure, for sure.
But it's more like Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain. Don't look and see what he's doing. Just turn the other way and I'll let you know when I'm ready to give you an answer.
Yeah, but then the flip side of that is how dumb do you look in a prime time game when you challenge a play like the Darnell Mooney catch in the end zone, which clearly the eye in the sky has already looked at it and said, yeah, that's not a touchdown. So otherwise they would have peeped down to the ref and said, hey, you need to flip that and call it a touchdown. And Nagy challenged it anyway.
Would they? How would we know what they were supposed to do or what their plan is?
I think they got that one right, although it was close. I think the takeaway for us collectively and everyone on planet Earth who's watching these games is that the referees on the field typically have no idea what's going on. Let me ask you this, Breach, because I think
I just want to add one more thing to this.
Yeah, yeah.
The way to do this is to be more aggressive in how you are going to implement this eye in the sky method and take some of the burden off the referees on the field.
I'm fine with that.
They have way too much going on. Clearly.
They're like a 75-year-old substitute teacher going to lean on me. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie back in the day with what's his name? Dang it, I can't remember his name.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it, Wilson.
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman was the principal who came in and fixed the school. But
what was the one with Coolio and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah, the same thing. Substitute teacher show.
A tale as old as time.
I don't disagree with that.
But they need to be consistent.
And that's Dangerous Minds, Winston.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Oh. Just substitute teacher was point. With
yes, when I walked through the
was with Tom.
The shadow of death. I take a look at my life.
Oh boy.
Yeah, boy. We don't
need to hear me. You guys want to hear me rap?
Curiously, I do want to hear you
rap. Actually, yeah.
Well, then you need to download my rap podcast that I do on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Wait, let me ask Breach a question because he mentioned this in our little private chat. Invite only. What do you think? Someone asked there's a path asked. I love that name, by the way, in the chat. Should Kendricks have been ejected for the blow to the head to Justin Fields?
I'm fine with that because
I think he should too. I was okay with that.
That was an egregious hit.
It looked egregious.
And like even
by the way, shout out to your word of day calendar for using egregious there.
I do have a word of day calendar. Thank you very much. But it was that bad. And as you know, it's not a college thing where he's ejected for the next game, because then I would say probably not. But for the rest of this game, I think it's fine.
I don't mind the ejection for the play in a vacuum. I don't mind the ejection. I just don't understand they never eject anyone. We saw an offensive offsides in this game and they never eject anyone for anything in the NFL.
That really felt like the ejection part of that felt like the ultimate makeup call. We're like, man, we've been screwing over the Bears this whole entire game. I mean, the fact that Justin Fields almost didn't get the flag on the play where he kneeled down right in front of the ref and the ref just stared at him as he was yelling. And then Brinson, your eye in the sky guy in New York must have said to the ref, hey, man, he was kneeling down. And then that guy body slammed him. I think the ref just thought he just got tackled and sacked. And Fields is like, man, I gave myself up. What am I supposed to do? And the guy put all his weight on him. I mean, it was insane. And then the flag finally comes in late. So bizarre. This whole game
It was a comedy of errors. And probably the most comedic part of this whole thing was Matt Nagy was desperately, like Billy Martin with the Yankees, me going old school, and getting thrown out of a baseball game. He could not get thrown out. Like, he had to start throwing haymakers.
He he got that first unsportsman. Also, like, he got screwed on a penalty. And then gets the unsportsmanlike conduct. He's just berating these refs on the sideline.
That was as happy as I've ever been with Matt Nagy.
But at that point, it's such a weird spot because your team has been assessed a 15-yard penalty in the first place. You're irate about it. And then the ref is going to jab you with another 15 yards.
What's infuriating. Like, as Breach just noted, they weren't going to call the Justin Fields thing to the 11th hour, it felt like. But that side judge could not wait to throw a flag on Matt Nagy because he made fun of his grandma or whatever he ended up saying.
If Matt Nagy, I said this on Twitter, but like if Matt Nagy had sprinted out onto the field and tackled one of those refs, and then thrown his challenge flag on him and like challenge this son, he's getting fired. Maybe there's jail time.
Folk hero.
Surely there's a civil lawsuit and all kinds of problems. But he would go down in bear. Like people would completely change their opinion of Matt Nagy as the Bears head coach. Just
we don't even talk about it. But we love Travis Kelce when we picked the challenge flag or the yellow flag and threw it 4 or 5 years ago. That was hilarious. Why not?
Yeah. Well, and people haven't seen that kind of emotion from Matt Nagy. He's usually on the sideline and you're thinking, what is that guy even doing? It was like the Jason Garrett's headset even on joke. And tonight you knew it was on and he wanted to win this game. And then you almost felt bad for him because
felt bad for him. I mean, he was a hero. He was like a blue-eyed tragic hero.
And to tell you how bizarre, and Brits, you kind of alluded to this at the beginning, how bizarre this game was before that kind of Hail Mary touchdown at the end. The Bears got in the Vikings territory 7 times before that final possession and did not score a single touchdown, got 3 total points. So they got 1 field goal, and their other 6 possessions ended with 2 fumbles, 3 failed 4th downs, and a missed field goal. And on the flip side, the Vikings only had 193 yards of offense and were only the 4th team to win a game this year with under 200 yards of offense.
By the way, Breach, let's circle back again. We go through this every day because now they have games every day of the week. Our buddy Kirby Cousins finished with 87 passing yards. You got to win a game tomorrow with average team. Are you taking Carson Wentz? Are you taking Kirk Cousins? Who played yesterday? That's also in the mix. Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz, Kirby Cousins, average team. You need to win a game to make the playoffs.
Is it like a 1 p.m. game or is it prime time?
The game is at midnight.
All right. Well, Wentz is in bed. Tannehill's out hunting. So I guess Cousins is like your only. Sure. You know what? There's Kirk's Monday night record. So as long as it's not Monday night and as long as it's not a primetime game overall, I'm taking Kirk Cousins. He just melts down on Mondays for whatever the reason is.
Monday meltdown
with Kirk Cousins.
The Vikings did the bare minimum to win this game. And by the way, they creeped into the 7th spot in the NFC. I mean,
I searched this on my Nexus Lexus, Google. I don't think an NFL coach has ever been ejected from a game. I could be wrong, but I can't find it in my quick Google search.
I believe that is correct. And if I were Matt Nagy, I mean, the problem is if you get ejected from the game.
What's the problem? There's no problem. As long as you don't punch anybody, just go crazy.
Yeah. If you get ejected from the game, you're just getting fired tomorrow.
You're getting fired.
You're getting fired anyway. Yeah.
You're showing passion. I don't know if our buddy Joe Musso is still in the chat, but how would he feel? Would he feel any differently? And this is a question for Bears fans in general. Would you feel any differently had Matt Nagy gotten ejected from the game? My guess is the answer is absolutely not. You might have liked him even more.
No, I would. He would slide up my rankings if he was ejected.
Yeah.
Ahead of Urban Meyer?
No, come on.
No one can move that high.
Don't get crazy.
I'm trying to look at the... This is awkward. I went to stathead.com, which is Pro Football Reference's. You can look up fun information for the listeners. Right. And
I find it tedious, but go ahead.
Thank you. I was trying to find teams who have produced over 300 yards and under 3 points or less in a game, because that's what the Bears had until that garbage.
I bet it's more than you think.
It's way more than you think, but there's not a lot of modern ones. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 since 2019 and 3 in 2021. Oddly, 1 is the Chiefs against the Titans. They lost 27-3, but the last team to do it was?
What year?
This year.
Oh. Steelers?
It was the Chicago Bears.
Bears against the Buccaneers.
It was the Bears. So the Bears have done that. Well, they didn't do it tonight, obviously, or Monday night, because they scored 9 points with the touchdown. But the Bears are, I mean, there were a lot of spots in this game where, as bad as I felt for Matt Nagy because of how poorly the Bears were treated by the referees, it felt like that at the same time, like the 4th and 1, you know, roll out with Justin Fields and nobody's actually open and all the Vikings knew he was going to do that. And then multiple like muff punts, multiple stupid penalties that weren't even on the referees. The Bears are a flaming disaster. He was the coach of the year in 2018.
Yeah. I think
through the playoffs twice.
Starting to think that award doesn't mean a whole bunch. All right. So let me circle back to what I asked yesterday. And remind me of the team if I can't come up with one. So, The Texans, Jaguars, Bears. I mean, I think we all agree the Texans job is still last. Is the Jaguars job still number one? Because I think Justin Fields isn't as good as Trevor Lawrence right now. Because they're basically both the same person coming out of college. And if you like Trevor more, then you still like
Trevor's
him.
Trevor's better than Justin Fields coming out.
He's played like crap, but my point is that you might as well just make it whitewash this whole season for both players and start over. The question is, are you farther along next year in Chicago or in Jacksonville?
Well, we both view Andy Reid. We all view Andy Reid as a brilliant offensive mind. If he was told, hey, you have to leave the Chiefs next year and either take the Bears job or Jacksonville's job, what do you think he picks?
I think he's going to Jacksonville because of Trevor Lawrence, slight edge, but also I think the weather might affect his decision-making. Just because he likes to throw the ball, you know, and that's a little harder to do in Chicago in December.
First of all, I don't think he would want to replace Matt Nagy, his former mentee. But
no, this is a hypothetical. It's not like he's going to call Matt Nagy on the phone. I mean, what are you talking about? It's Christmas time. Don't hurt Matt Nagy's feelings.
No. I think that Andy Reid, if you go to Jacksonville, the leash is longer in terms of how much time you have to.
Don't overthink it. Just which job are you taking?
Jacksonville. It's not close.
Okay.
I think it's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The pressure in Chicago is way higher. You come to Chicago, Nagy went to the playoffs his first year, won coach of the year with Mitchell Trubisky, by the way.
I think Urban Meyer would argue that it's much higher. Lasted 13 games.
You mentioning that weird stat about the Bears. I did it again, but included their crazy yardage at the end. And it's even rarer. Only one time since the beginning of the 2019 season has a team finished with 370 or more yards and scored single-digit points. This was only the second time that's happened in 2 years.
If you look at this box score, you can't figure out how the Bears lost. I mean, it is 24 first downs to 13. Well, you can. I mean, you can figure it out, but, you know, they went 1-5 in the red zone.
You see the turnovers.
The referees.
I know we talked about analytics a lot, and I'm not trying to get into it. And I don't blame Matt Nagy for any of the decisions he made, but if he just kicked a bunch of field goals, he's probably right there.
He tried to. The kicker, whoever he is, I don't know his name, Breach, missed the first one.
Yeah.
And it was pretty straightforward. I mean, there's only so much the man can do.
No, that was tipped. One of the Vikings.
Did it go through the uprights?
Well, you don't put it on the kicker. You don't change your mind about kicking a field goal because it's not like Cairo Santos whiffed it and it shanked it far right or pulled it. Is a fair point, but that's not
1-5 in the red zone, 2-12 on third down. And the Vikings were 5-17 on third down, which is horrendous too. I mean, they had 370 yards and averaged 5.3 yards per play to the Vikings 3.2 yards per play.
It was a terrible game. I was so I begged you guys in the third quarter to go live and people ignored me. So I just went off and meditated for 45 minutes and it didn't help.
If the Bears convert anything in the red zone or convert a couple more third downs, maybe one fourth down, they probably win this game. I mean,
I think that leads me to this question. Do you feel better about the Saints or the Vikings right now? Because the Vikings should have lost to the Steelers last week. Maybe not, but they let them come back after being up 29-0. And then they should have lost to a Bears team that had 425 people on COVID list, including the entire second. Like the secondary held Kirby Cousins. The secondary that all got called up from the JV squad, not even practice squad, to 87 yards.
Hey, I'm taking Sean Payton over Mike Zimmer. And I like Mike Zimmer.
And Kirby Cousins tried to gift them a touchdown at the end of the first half when the Vikings were driving down. I know Justin Jefferson got hit on the play, but there was literally no Vikings player within 15 yards.
Another bad call by the officials, by the way. It made Kirby Cousins look terrible.
That pass gets picked off. The Bears take over. Minnesota's 39. They have timeouts. They have 46 seconds. They do absolutely nothing and then have a 49-yard field goal.
Kirk Cousins had 87 passing yards tonight. What is happening with this game? These games were stupid.
And 60 of those came in the first half. So he only had 27 in the second half.
Let's talk about that playoff picture for a second. Because the Bears are, congratulations to Chicago fans. You are no longer, quote, in the hunt.
Thank you, Jesus.
Again, you are the second NFC team to be eliminated. You barely outlasted the Lions.
Eliminated. Good.
And the Giants are still in it, I would imagine, even though they're the same record, right? Because the
Giants are alive.
So, okay, let's be honest. You can cut the list off at Debo's Eagles because the Falcons are not going anywhere. Stop.
No. Seattle is who I was going to throw in there.
Stop.
They play. Let's see what happens if Seattle.
Okay,
you can
include everyone up to pick 14.
Yeah, Atlanta out, Carolina out, Giants out, Chicago out, Detroit out. They should have been
give
out
me your,
10 weeks ago.
I'll even expand it to six. Although I think the pie is on my face with the 49ers there in at six. But if you want to change your mind, 6 and 7, who gets those seeds?
Just do seven. I think it's just seven.
Okay, I was just trying to be
49ers little... have the Texans left. They should handle that.
Disrespectful to David Smills, but okay.
All right, seven. Who goes?
Nick Casario on his headset talking to David Culley, apparently.
Is that true?
Do you see that?
No. What was he could he possibly be talking to him about?
No, so apparently Belichick.
How are we gonna kill Jack Easterby?
Belichick allowed Casario to be on the headset in New England. As long as you're not texting, if you're on the official headset, it's fine.
He was the front office guy in New England. He wasn't the GM, but he was the front office guy.
Okay. But as Tom Curran of NBC Sports or NBC Boston points out, like it was a speak when you're spoken to. Like Nick Casario's not on there like, oh, great play, Josh. That was a great play call, pal. But now he's on there talking about timeouts to David Culley like live during the – anyway, this is – we're not going to get into the tangent. Point being –
I love that Curran got that too. That's hilarious.
The seven seed is, I think, where we focus this. And it's Minnesota, New Orleans. I think we keep Washington in there because they're technically alive. Philly and then Seattle. So there's five teams.
Breach, where are you on Seattle and being included in this list?
I am fine including Seattle because it is Russell Wilson and you don't want to cut out somebody who's literally never had a losing record in his career. That doesn't mean I think they are going to get the wild card spot, but they have the Lions, the Bears, which are very winnable games, and they play the Cardinals and Rams, and those are division games. And Seattle's playing division games.
I would just leave them in there for now. I don't think they'll make it, but I do think 9-8 probably gets you in.
The Seahawks have more division wins this year than the 49ers.
That's crazy.
All right, so give me the seventh pick.
If I were, I would go New Orleans. If I'm ranking my choices, New Orleans 1, Minnesota 2. Sorry, Debo. Seattle 3, Philly 4, Washington 5.
Seattle 3. Wow.
I'll go
the Lions and the Bears left.
That team is not good. They have one player who has...
Watch the Bears.
They should have won.
You sound like me.
The Bears are basically the Seahawks. I mean, they're very similar.
Seattle will light up that secondary.
Justin Fields might... Well, he has...
Anyway, I mean, look, Seattle's probably not making it, but if Seattle goes... the question is, does 9-8 get you in... as the seven seed?
I think it will get one of these teams in, but
yes,
if Seattle goes 9-8, the math might be as such where they don't get in.
I mean, the Cardinals stink. Seattle can beat the Rams if it's a hero. Yeah, every
you're getting ahead of yourself. They got to get in first. Are you just talking about the rest of the regular season?
I'm saying they could go 4-0 and finish 9-8 and be all of a sudden in the playoffs.
And if a bunch of these teams finish at 9-8, you know, if you have a giant, huge tiebreaker. The team with the best conference record definitely is not the Seahawks. They are 2-6. They are pretty much dead in the water.
Shout out to Atheist for the Cause. You mentioned that in the chat, and Breach didn't give him credit for it, but okay.
I don't even have the chat open.
There is literally a conference record list up there. I mean, it's great. Appreciate the note in the chat, but like there's literally.
I'm trying to make the fans feel good and hit the like button, and you're picking up for Breach.
And trying to make me feel horrible. Yeah. And then obviously
that like button, by the way.
Well, you see, Washington's at 5-3. And so I think that makes them interesting because you know, if they just go 2-2, well, they can't go 2-2 because that's not, if they get to 9-8, that means they are going to be 8-4 in the conference. So
I'm glad you asked that question, Breach. I'm going with the Saints, the Eagles, Washington, Minnesota, and you can put Seattle at the end there.
I think these NFC East teams are going to just like beat each other up in an ugly way. Not like, you know, prize fighters hitting each other, just, you know, sort of
like a slap fight.
Yeah, or like, you know, like, I'm not saying that, you know, my dad used to send me and my brother out into the yard to fight it out. Yeah, you know, winner walks in the house. But I mean, you know, hypothetically speaking, if that was the case.
My neighbor was over the other night for a pre-Christmas hanging out drinks. And he said when he was the youngest of three brothers, and his grandfather, this is back in the 80s, they would go in the basement and his grandfather had to babysit him. And the grandfather would sit in this lazy boy, have the youngest one, my buddy, put on pads. They're all lacrosse players and they would just fight. And when they would get, like he said, he had more concussions as a between ages 8 and 15 than he did when he played college lacrosse. So it could be like that, too. Just take him downstairs and start wailing on him.
And look, the 49ers are not guaranteed to get in. They have, they're at the Titans on Thursday.
Well, you said we just shouldn't even include them. I think it feels pretty good.
Yeah, they're 80-ish percent to get in. They wanted the Bears to win tonight, and they wanted the Bucks to win last night.
Yeah, 1 out of 2, 8.
Okay, well, then they would have, well, no, 0-2. If that had happened, they would have a full 2 games up on everyone else.
And if they get upset on Thursday, that opens a whole different can of worms, because then you're thinking, oh my God, maybe they don't make it because they'd still have to play the Rams, and you feel like the Texans game is a gimme. But
well, you know who that'd be great news for, Breach?
Is that Russell Wilson?
Eric R. Debo.
Get the Eagles in.
That's right.
But the Niners are guaranteed at worst a 500 conference schedule because they play the Titans and Texans.
So well, the Eagles are right now 4-4, and they have all, I think they have all conference games, right? I mean, all division games, right?
Right, but Washington's 5-3, and they have all NFC games left.
Well, you can't talk yourself into both Washington and Philly. Like, it's going to be...
Well, you can't.
That's the thing. Brenton, I agree with you. I agree with you that the NFC East teams beat up on each other, knocking each other out. So I think that leaves the Vikings and the Saints.
Yeah, I think those NFC East teams do this like round robin sort of smack around where they end up.
Yeah, but all it takes is one team in the NFC to get in the NFC East to get hot.
And Philadelphia's playing every team that got hit hard with COVID so far. You know, like the Browns lost, the Bears just lost. They had 14 players, and so now if this trend continues, that means Washington's going to lose because they're missing a bunch of players. And I don't know about Rams Seahawks because they've both been hit by COVID.
Debo, I don't want to bring this up, but I have to ask it. Jalen Hurts is coming back from an ankle injury. I'm assuming you'd rather have Jalen Hurts play than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. If they feel like he's good to go, he's good to go in my book.
What about the – I'll put the numbers on it. 78% Jalen or 100% Gardner?
That makes it – I think you probably take 100% Gardner. 78% is not too high.
All right. I appreciate your honesty.
Debo doesn't have his blinders on. I was hoping he would say Gardner Minshew there. No, Don't knock my third round guy, Gardner Minshew.
100 for 78. No, I'm not taking those
85
odds.
To 100?
Yeah, it might be Gardner there too. I mean, if Hurts struggles, I think, first quarter and you can see that it's injury related tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if they went to Minshew tomorrow.
So you're willing to put off the who's the quarterback talk if that helps the going back and forth helps get the Eagles to the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think it's like Gardner Minshew is going to be the week one starter in 2022. I don't think that needs to happen. But to get them in the playoffs, I'm for who gives them the best chance.
And unfortunately for Debo, one twist with Tuesday's games.
Passive aggressive breach. Go ahead.
Is that the Eagles cannot be in the 7th seed. Heading into week 16. If Washington wins, it will be Washington. And if the Eagles win, it will be Minnesota.
Why does that matter?
Well, I'm just saying that.
He just wanted to be a jerk.
They're going
to
be on the outside.
Hypothetically, the season could end like on Wednesday.
I'm explaining the playoff situation heading into week 16.
Oh, the tiebreaker.
That's what we're doing here, right?
I get it.
Okay.
You're being a passive aggressive.
He's peacocking because the Browns lost.
But ultimately, if the Eagles finish
10-7
and the Saints finish 10-7, or the Eagles finish 9-8 and the Saints also finish 9-8, the Eagles get in, right, Breach? Because of that head to head matchup?
Wait, if what?
If the Eagles and Saints finish with the same record.
Right.
That makes me feel better.
But as long as there's no 3-way tie, you know, because then that throws things into chaos.
Right.
Can't wait for the Bengals to lose the first round of the playoffs. For people asking in the chat, you can hit the dunk button if you want, Brinson. I saw you go in that direction. No.
Wear the hats for people who won the...
Well, I saw you mention in the chat.
They're at Wilson's Tattoo Shop.
Oh, what a big...
Actually, I UPS'd them today. Debo's going to get them this week.
Oh, nice.
I wanted to clarify that because I saw you mention in the chat that they're at my house. They're no longer at my house.
Yeah.
The curse has been lifted.
Not on Wilson anymore.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, I literally forgot there's another game we had to talk about.
Yeah, hey boy. Yeah,
it's actually the better game. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the better game from Monday night. Next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
So the Browns, and I mean, it's pretty hard to believe that the Browns and Raiders could play a game where the Raiders won 16-14 and you would walk away from Monday going, man, that was the better of two games. But it was, right?
No, that was actually a fun game. It was fun because
it ended up being a really entertaining game down the stretch, but it was not a.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you missed the first three quarters, you did not miss anything. But credit to Nick Mullins coming out there knowing 4.5 plays, and he completed the passes he needed to complete. He had something like 47 drops. I think the Raiders pass catchers dropped about 57 passes, so that part wasn't necessarily attractive to watch. For some reason, Brinson Jr., what's his name? What's the Clemson guy who's so good?
Renfro.
He muffed like two punts. Like that is
that was weird.
Very weird.
Also, it happened in the Bears game too.
Hunter Renfro Sully and I talked about this in the lead up to it. And I was like, man, I really want to take Hunter Renfro's under receiving yards, but I'm petrified by it.
Yeah, why would you take the under?
Because he'd average like 35 receiving yards for the first 10 games of the season, and all of a sudden turn into Calvin Johnson. And I like
what was the number going into this game?
77.5.
Ew, he hit the
that
under.
Is
okay.
High.
Did you take the under?
No, because I'm a.
Fair enough. I mean, Darren Waller didn't play, and he's sort of his go-to guy. So, Zay Jones.
Five targets, three catches, 32 yards. Zay Jones was the guy. Nine targets, six catches, 67 yards.
Yeah, I hope he took Zay Jones over.
Seriously. Nick Chubb, probably the best performer in this game. Although Nick Mullins was,
67%.
Well, Nick Chubb might have been the best performer. It's like the Browns forgot he existed in the first half. And I know Kevin Stefanski wasn't out there, but when you have your third-string quarterback, you think Nick Chubb is going to get 40 carries. He got six carries in the first half. Six. And then they're like, okay, you know what?
They were trailing, though, most of the first half, right?
They're not down like 21 to nothing. Right. You know, you don't just give up on your run game when you have your third-string quarterback running the show. And then the second half, they're like, oh, yeah, Nick, okay. 17 carries, 79 yards, a touchdown.
And it looked right like the Steelers playing the Vikings with Dalvin Cook. Like they couldn't tackle him.
I would say that. I mean, I don't disagree with you in terms of their usage. I mean, obviously that's factual, but it did feel like in the first half the Raiders defense was getting after Nick Chubb. Like he went 4 yards, -7.
Well, they also got after Nick Mullins, who couldn't complete a pass in the first half because everyone was covered because everyone was out sick or at least had COVID. And I think to Breach's point, you just keep running. What's the worst that can happen? You burn time off the clock and you figure it out. And then
that
you get
second
going.
Quarter, they did completely abandon Nick Chubb.
It was mind boggling.
And Derek Carr, I don't
my God.
I don't mind Derek Carr. Brinson well, the Carr family hates Brinson, and Brinson probably has earned some of that hatred, probably not all of it. But he had the fumble when he got his knee twisted off, and I get that. But you don't want to fumble there. That led to their first touchdown, I think, the Browns. Maybe the second touchdown. I can't remember. The one that put him up 14-13, right?
First touchdown.
Okay. And then he threw the world's worst interception. I don't know what he was doing in the interception. To Zay Jones of the crossing route, and the I think it was Greedy Williams made the play, a great catch that allowed them to come back down, and that was the go-ahead touchdown that Nick Mullins threw on the scramble, which was, again, a great play by a third-string quarterback who had no business being out there because the first two guys threw down. So the Browns should have won that game. That is the most Browns loss ever, and we say that every week they lose, but this was the most recent most Browns loss ever because they'd won that game. They're back in the playoff chase. Is that correct?
They're in first place in the division.
Okay, they're in first place in the division. And Breach, that's why Breach is peacocking around the last 15 minutes of this podcast.
The Browns would have been the 4 seed in the AFC, and now they are the 12 seed, like just 2 spots ahead of the Jets. That is how crazy the AFC is right now.
I mean, I would say this on the Browns. I mean, the fact, like they have 2 of these games. The game where Chubb and Kareem Hunt were both out, and D'Ernest Johnson just carried them. Was it a Thursday night game, maybe?
It was a primetime game.
It was a Thursday night game against the Broncos, I believe.
But that you can overcome.
No, but I think if this Browns team makes the playoffs, and it is probably not going to happen, but but I mean, like, these are 2 like really difficult to win games by Cleveland, where they dealt with a lot of stuff.
They should have won. That's the thing.
They should have won this game. They started out punt, 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 missed field goal, punt. And then
field goal was like the first time in recorded history where icing the kicker actually worked.
Yeah.
Because Chase McLaughlin hit it the first time. The Raiders coach called a timeout, and he went back out there and just whiffed it, and it was horrible. And you could see everybody at the Brown sideline like, oh, man, we got to get rid of this guy. He's missed like 6 of his last 12 field. It's been ugly lately.
So, Brent, so just so you're mentioning the Browns and their playoff chances, our guy Steven O's sports line before this game, before the Raiders game, Cleveland's chances 50%. Of making the playoffs, 25%. Post-loss, 9.8%.
Okay, so dead. Yeah. I felt like both of these games were a little similar in the fact that you have Chicago and Cleveland, two kind of, you know, these teams, you're like, oh, what are these fools going to do tonight? They fooled it up. And Cleveland had more difficult circumstances because of the COVID stuff.
They should have won it. Still, despite it all,
my point is the Raiders and the Vikings just let them hang, like had chances to put both games away.
Yes.
And just let them hang around and let them hang around. And then all of a sudden, Cleveland's winning. Or, I mean, Chicago had the ball with like 6 minutes and 2 timeouts.
If you're watching on youtube.com/picksix, you can see the win totals, the win percentages based on Stephen O's latest projections. Go ahead, Bruce.
And with the Browns, you know, they're not playing with house money because they needed to win this game, but nobody expected to win. They had 18 people on the COVID list, 8 starters. You're down to your third string quarterback. So literally, I mean, they were panning the crowd the whole game, and the crowd was just like resigned to this team losing. And so it was like, okay, whatever. They're supposed to lose this game, even though they really need to win. But then when they took that 14-13 lead, it was like, oh my God, their defense has been playing so well. They might be able to hold the Raiders off. And so it was just a crazy dynamic because this was the craziest Derek Carr roller coaster ride probably of the year. And this was the craziest Browns roller coaster ride of the year, where the Browns did Browns things and Derek Carr did Derek Carr things, where, you know, he turned the ball over twice and people on Twitter were ripping him and saying, my God, this is what's Derek Carr doing. The Raiders need to move on. And then he leads this spectacular game-winning drive to get Daniel Carlson's field goal. It's like, oh my God, no, keep Derek Carr. You can get to the Raiders to the playoffs. And the same thing with the Browns, where Browns fans were just sad the whole game, weren't really vocal on Twitter. And then the Browns took the lead and everybody's going crazy. The crowd's going crazy. And then everybody goes home sad because of this field goal.
By the way, I bet if Breach panned his camera around, you could see some little tiny feet in the hole, feet in the wall holes where he was kicking after they went up 14-13. Cause he's like, oh my God, the Bengals are going to be out. Cause they would have been out of the playoffs. Is that right?
No, they would not have been out of the playoffs. It would have dropped the Bills would have been dropped out.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Wilson.
Also, somebody in the chat said, I can't wait to see Mark Sessler's reaction. Do not tweet Sess about this, please. As a man who's been broken too many times by these Browns. But my point about the 2 Browns games is more like they've, it feels like they've just been, and we like the under on the Browns because the hype had gotten too big and the total win total.
I don't
was,
know if I like the under. I picked them to win the division. What was the over under?
It was 10, I think. It was 9.5 or 10.
I may have taken the over, but go ahead.
I took, there's a path to, you know, to, for every NFL team where there's a path where your season, even if everything is put in place, and get this Derek Carr picture off my face. Even if this, even off if this, they had a Stafford to less. How dare you, Diva? That's so disrespectful.
Tiny package.
Go Heels. So there's just a path where I can't do this. There's a path where
staring into your soul.
It's yeah. There's so much eyeshadow that he wears.
Quickly, but one thing.
No, where your season just goes awry, and it just well,
one thing quickly. What's going on with Derek Carr's mullet haircut?
He's
and he's growing he's out until he wins the playoff phase. Game.
Emo phase. It's an emo phase for Derek. Okay, I like it better. Will you please take that off the screen? Thank you. Golly, that was tough to stomach. The other oh I know
oh, no,
actually
Debo feeling
bring up
saucy.
Darren too while you're at it Debo feeling spicy. There's a path in the chat actually noted that on the so there's a 4th and 3 from Cleveland's 30 and I was shocked to see amidst the whole discussion of analytics and whatnot that it was a Ben Baldwin's bot. And I haven't looked for anything else, but it was a strongly advised Cleveland to go for it. They had the 4th and 3 there late in the game. Do we think that they go for it if Kevin Stefanski is coaching? Because in the moment, I was like, there's no way in hell you go for this. You ran Chubb, you melt the clock down, you punt, you move on. But if they get it, the game's over.
Well, and see, this is where one part where it depends on like your statistical formula here, because a bot is going to side with going for it because if you get it, you have 100% chance of winning the game. It's not like, or 99.9999, because I guess you could fumble a kneel down snap, but you win the game if you get the first down. And so because of that reward, because it's so high, it outweighs the risk of if you don't get it, the Raiders are already in field goal range, which doesn't make sense that it's go for it that but strong. Like, and this is where you...
But it actually played out that way. Like, I don't know.
Well, right, exactly. But there's no guarantee that the Browns average 4.4 yards per play, which is an incredibly low number. So if you take into, I don't think Stefanski would have gone for it with a third string quarterback in the way his offense has been playing. I think he would have punted there. I think Brandon Staley would have punted there, unless Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback on the other side. If he was going against Brady or Mahomes or someone like that, he would have gone for it, but Derek Carr, he's punting. He's saying Derek's not beating us.
I mean, I think I just think it's an interesting discussion to have about the, because it wasn't the analytics discussion boils down to these like very few highly public moments, and it was kind of weird that this one wasn't discussed because I didn't think it was a thing at all. My thought was you obviously punt the ball and stop the Raiders from getting in field goal range, but now here's the interesting thing. There was over 2 minutes left, right? There's like 5 minutes. Like,
2 minute warning.
When they
the third down play was run.
Feels like
right. The third down play led to the 2 minute warning.
Yes. Because the Raiders called their last timeout before the third down play, and then right.
God, right, and then 3rd and 3 with 2:30 left.
Yeah. So Nick Chubb ran the ball with 2:31. You get to the 2 minute warning and they punted.
And let me just say that Chubb got 0 yards on that 3rd and 3 carry.
Yeah.
So like if he gets 2 yards and it's 4th and 1, maybe they think about it, but 3 yards just seems.
But here's, I think this is the interesting discussion about, if you'll indulge me.
I will.
A little game theory?
Huh? I will begrudgingly. Go ahead.
You need a theme song for the game theory.
Is it?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
No whammies?
Yeah. Pressure luck.
The pressure luck theme song. If you go for it and don't get it, and you're up 14-13, What do the Raiders likely do in that situation? And by the way, the Browns had, I believe, all three timeouts. They probably run it three times and kick the ball and then dare you to go score with Nick Mullins. That's sort of my point is, like, if you punt it, you're probably going to sit back in some kind of preventish defense and the Raiders are going to be aggressive.
It's funny you say that because our buddy Josh Edwards, who I do the mock draft show with on Tuesdays, we're CBS huge Browns fans, said Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah allowing Foster Moreau to stay in bounds on that final drive. And Foster Moreau ended up getting like 3 or 4 or 5 extra yards and getting the first down. It was crazy.
He managed to get out. Like,
it was like he was suddenly invisible and then they pushed him out of bounds. And those yards add up, but he only need to get to the what ended up being.
If you tackle him in bounds, it's another like 10 or 12 seconds.
Exactly. So that didn't help. And, you know, I would imagine the math doesn't account for that. That player is not going to tackle that player. So be sure to factor that into your math equation. And Breach, I will say this. Daniel Carlson, credit that guy. He hit the first one pretty good. He hit the second one after the timeout even better.
Pure A.
Right down the middle.
I mean, he had a huge game. And he used to play for the Vikings. The Vikings have all these kicking problems. They dump him. He goes to the Raiders. And now
for like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. And now he's just loving life. He had a huge game. That was, I think he had 3 field goals. But yeah, you said he nailed both of those. And that second one, like, there was no question. As soon as it left his foot, everyone in the stadium knew it was in. Nobody was cheering anymore.
And you mentioned the ice and the kicker finally worked in the previous game we talked about. I mean, I'm fine.
It finally worked at halftime of this game when they got Chase McLaughlin.
I'm fine with coaches doing that because that's literally your last resort, short of doing a Matt Nagy and going out there and just running to the field and stealing the football. So yeah, call it, see what happens. Maybe,
and especially if it's at the end of the half or end of the game where you have no other use for these timeouts, then like, why not? So yeah, I definitely agree with that. But Brent, I do think that is interesting, your game theory. But I feel like the Raiders were somewhat aggressive. I mean, Derek Carr will throw the ball,
but like those guys, they would not have been aggressive if you'd given the ball to them at.
I think they would have tried to get one first down.
I don't know. At the,
but also maybe they don't pass because then they don't want to risk taking a sack.
They would have run the ball 3 times, kicked the field goal. It's 16-14, and I think that's like we don't know if that's factored into the analytics.
And then Nick Mullins has to a game winning drive.
No timeouts though.
If he got the ball back.
Yeah, I guess you had no timeouts, right? Yeah. But you had, you had a minute and 45 seconds or something. Maybe a minute 30, absolute minimum.
By the way,
90 seconds to go down and drive in field goal range and get yourself a shot, as opposed to watching Derek Carr carve you up with Zay Jones and then sprint off to the sideline super happy.
Debo is getting absolutely demolished in the chat. He asked, do you guys like the game theory discussion? And it has been an emphatic yes across the board.
What a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away.
Go Tar Heels.
He made it come out of his nose, Debo. Well done. Did not see that coming.
The other thing I'll say, though, is there's no way Mike Prefer was going to make that call, because if you go for it on 4th and 3 when your team's winning and then you lose and you got a text message from Kevin Stefanski when you get in the locker, says, hey, man, don't show up for work tomorrow. You're done.
I just thought it was interesting. I saw the tweet from the bot, he said, in 2021. But like, my initial reaction was, obviously, you punt. And when I saw it was like plus 8.8, I was like, that's a crazy number. I do think in hindsight, if you, and you have to think through this on the sidelines, it's really difficult to do. Maybe you go for it. If you don't get it, hope the Raiders don't score and they're going to run it 3 times and kick. I mean, that's just what they're going to do with also an interim permanent head coach. So the Browns are toast. Are the Raiders alive?
I'll give you, see if Debo has it.
7-7.
The Stephen O numbers are Las Vegas before the game. Their chances of making the playoffs, 7.3%. Afterwards, 14.9%. So that's still behind the Steelers and obviously the Ravens, ahead of the Browns, who are at 9.8% now. So
all right. We've talked about this ad nauseum. So let me ask you this. What would be the craziest plausible AFC playoff scenario?
I think the Browns could still win the division. Is that correct, Breach?
Yeah.
There's a path.
That would be crazy, I think. At number 12?
Yeah. So like Browns.
Yeah, I guess
Browns, Dolphins, Raiders, Steelers.
Well, the Browns have to play the Packers this week in 5
But he's
days.
Asking for the craziest, so I'm giving him the craziest.
Well, I think the craziest would be the Steelers winning the division after all the crap they did this season.
Shut up. They should be
Scroll back up. I've been getting trolled by Dolphins fans. The Dolphins are 7-1 to make the playoffs.
Maybe the Dolphins getting the playoffs would be crazy because they started 1-7. No team that's been 1-7 has ever made the postseason.
That feels like a bit long for a team that
Brinson just called them frauds yesterday, so I don't know if he's on board with that.
Brinson, you get a bet on the fraudulent Dolphins?
I need them to lose this week. They're mad at me.
Now, I will say the Dolphins have the fifth toughest remaining schedule because they play the Titans, Patriots, and Saints.
I've already beaten the Patriots, the Saints, and I realize I'm arguing against myself here, but the Saints have Taysom Hill, and the Titans are maybe frauds.
Trash right now.
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, that's... I do think somebody's going to have to get the 10 wins, though. So it's the question is, because 9-8, probably not going to get in, right? Not with every
team. 9-8, I think you have to have 10 to get in.
When you have the 4-8 teams at 8-6, who only just, you need four of those five to go 2-1. And that means the worst playoff record is 10-7. And the Ravens and Bengals play each other this Sunday. So one of them is going to be at 9 wins. And so, makes it even more likely that whoever wins that game gets the 10 wins. The Bills and Patriots are playing each other.
Let me ask you this. I don't think the Steelers make it. I'm predicting they beat the Chiefs this week just because I love the idea of Titans Chiefs back-to-back. But does Tomlin's streak of having a going 500 or better continue this season? He's 7-6-1. Chiefs, Browns, Ravens remaining on the
schedule. So he only needs to win one game, right?
One game. Can he do it?
Yeah, they'll get one.
They're getting one.
And it's going to be next week.
She's having a little COVID thing popping up, too.
Travis Kelce?
Harrison Butker?
Harrison Butker.
Oh.
If you got two starting players dealing with COVID, there's going to be some...
Let me ask you this. Would you rather be without...
Targeted testing is what we're doing now?
Would you rather be without Harrison Butker or Travis Kelce if you're the Chiefs right now?
Harrison Butker.
Breach.
What?
Travis Kelce just had 191
yards and two touchdowns. Should have had three.
I'm just asking. You might need to kick a game-winning field goal like you did with Daniel Carlson. And Travis Kelce ain't kicking a 48-yarder twice.
They'll find someone to bring in, but I definitely, I don't want to be missing either.
Hey, Wilson, let me ask you this. As a Steelers fan, would you rather have Andy Reid kicking field goals or going for two every time and going for every fourth down?
When you ask that question, I visualize Andy Reid literally kicking the field goals.
I would love punt pass champion.
That's right. I think it was like 40, maybe 50 years ago. No, it must have been 40 years ago. Yeah, obviously you want Andy Reid going for two every time, but
I don't want Andy Reid. I want Andy Reid being as conservative as possible if I'm a Steelers fan.
Oh, I thought you meant if he was just my coach.
No. I'm saying if you want Steelers fan, I think you want Butker out there.
Yeah, no, that's right. I took it to mean that he was my coach and I could dream.
What about the Raiders or Broncos getting in? Because they play each other this week, and the winner will be at 8 wins.
Teddy Bridgewater's banged up.
We're talking about the crazy scenarios, right? We didn't mention.
Drew Lock played in the final two quarters.
But Drew Lock is the perfect type of chaos agent to come into the AFC playoffs and just have a ceiling game out of nowhere. Light up the Raiders defense isn't that good. Drew Lock can light them up, and all of a sudden
a chaos agent. He's the guy you put on
Drew
the
Lock is the definition of a chaos agent.
He's in the sense that you put him on the Chiefs at 10-4 and they miss the playoffs. That's the kind of chaos.
We keep talking about this Colts Titans stuff outfields, just because the Colts have to finish a full game, but like Titans losing the 49ers feels like a definite possibility.
Sure.
And they're dogs.
And then the Colts winning on Sunday. Now they're tied. And then Indiana needs to win, beat them by one game or the final two games.
But you mentioned that they have to sweep, right? No.
No, the Titans have the sweep. So Indianapolis has to finish a full game ahead of the Titans.
That's what we talked about yesterday.
This podcast needs to be renamed There's a Path.
There's Make a path. Make fun of me.
It's still possible for the Titans to finish as the one seed. Or the Titans to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like that's neither of those outcomes are out of the realm of possibility.
All right, let me give you this. You can have Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Miami, Cleveland, Denver if you want. You can take any team you want. Or basically the field as I've defined it, or the Bills to make the playoffs. What are you taking?
The Bills.
Everyone below the Bills or the Bills?
Yeah, you can go as far down that list as you want to go.
Okay. I would it's very bizarre that you're not like have no interest in gambling, but make a good gambling line.
The Bills play the Jets and the Falcons, exactly. and they've been beating up on bad teams all year. They don't beat the good teams.
Whoa. Have they been beating up on bad teams all year?
They did not look good against the Panthers.
And yeah, they lost one by 17 points.
Against the Panthers. No,
believe me, I was sweating. My chair was full of sweat because I had the Bills max betted at minus 10.5.
And by the way, Breach, this same team that you're talking about dunking on terrible teams, they lost to the Jaguars team that was coached by Urban Meyer, who wasn't even paying attention during the game.
They lost 9-6 to the Jaguars. They can lose to anyone.
And they beat the Dolphins, so they have the tiebreaker over the Dolphins.
The Dolphins were 1-7.
They swept the Dolphins.
The Bills are problematic for the Bills. The Panthers were using PJ Walker as a kicker tryout in pregame warmups.
Right.
And the Bills needed a 4th-and-2 conversion to win by 17 and cover.
They
should beat that crap team by 50 points, and they barely did it.
You mean like the Colts beat the Bills when they scored 41 on
them? The Bills are 6-1 against teams that currently have a losing record. So I'm saying that
Are you going to be picking
against them when they play the Jets or the Falcons?
I agree with Breach. I would take the Bills because they have two bad teams left on their schedule. But the Bills have lost to the Jaguars and did not look impressed. The last 4 weeks of the Bills have not been impressive.
But also, they can just almost make this a moot point by just beating the Patriots this week.
Well, that's a big ask.
That is a big ask.
Sean McDermott's in his feelings.
Yeah, that's the problem when he plays the Patriots. He needs to pretend he's playing the Dolphins or whoever he can beat.
I mean, it was Pats, and then he got his head twisted around. Then it was at the Bucs against Tom Brady, who's, you know, whatever.
They didn't show up in the first half.
His old team, Carolina. And then now it's like the Pats again. This guy's tilted.
All right, the two teams that we started this conversation with because they played tonight, the Raiders and the Browns. They both have the same record. Which one of them has the better chance to make the playoffs?
Goose egg. They're not going.
But who has the better chance? If you had to pick one.
The Browns, because I want them to knock the Bengals out of the playoffs.
Not going to happen.
Oh, Bengals coming back, Jarvis. I mean,
the Bengals have struggled against the Browns.
If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, please go to the 59 minute mark, 59 seconds, and go look at this graphic that Devo just put up on YouTube because it's.
When did you even find the time to make this? Because I said I don't think the Eagles are going to make the playoffs.
It's Andy Reid at the punt pass kick competition.
It's even grammatically correct with that little dash. It says normal sized human and John Breach, and it's Andy Reid and this little
tiny.
How old is he there? It is insane.
It's 1970, I think. So he must be.
This was 1971.
71.
So 50 years.
But like, he's in the same competition as this like child. Like, Andy Reid looks like me, and John Breach
looks like Breach.
No, it looks like my son. I mean, my 7-year-old son.
Well, worth noting, your son Robbie, who is 7 years old, is taller than Breach.
Victor Garcia says we finally found the picture of Breach in college.
It is noteworthy that you were making fun of our buddy Sean Wagner McGuff on Twitter because he's done with law school for the break. And he said, I'm not going on YouTube to get dunked on, which is Breach's life as we sit here.
Should we call Sean until he answers after the pod's over, or should we do it on the pod?
That's up to Devo. Devo's busy making that graphic. He might want to break.
Yeah, can I call him on
Skype? I mean, it would have been funnier when we talk about the Bears.
Will it come in audio wise if I call him on Skype on this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Skype is not going to work. It's a different. We'll set it up for later. Don't ruin what's been another
one. When the Bears fire Matt Nagy, we got to bring him
on. There you go. We'll bring him, Musso, Fornelli, Snyder. We'll bring them all on.
They're all Bears fans.
Yeah. Then hang up on them.
So the Browns they're at Packers, at Steelers, Bengals at home.
By the way, Devo, tweet that out from the Pick Six account because that shouldn't be wasted.
That will do well. The Raiders are Broncos at home, at Colts, Chargers at home. I don't think.
Well, I mean, it's a question worth asking.
No, it's for sure. Yeah. But the Raiders, I can't handle Derek Carr winning three games to close out the season to be in 10-7 and end the playoffs.
By the way, the commenters in the chat mentioned they would love to have There's a Path hat, which is, sounds pretty good. They
would also a t-shirt that says There's a Path.
There's a Path. They would also love Not Normal Size Breach on a hat or a t-shirt. With those, that picture on it with Not Normal Size Breach would be, I would pay $40 for that t-shirt.
Oh my God.
Andy Reid.
I would wear a sweatshirt.
Yeah, 100%.
A hoodie.
That would be fantastic. That's something to.
The Raiders close with the Broncos, Colts, and Chargers. They're not winning three straight, right?
How did we not talk to get Sean on this call, by the way?
Yeah.
Because he ducks all your calls. He blocked your number, Brenton.
He's watching email.
I didn't want to be the person to have to tell you that, but he blocked your number.
Fine. I thought about him following it tonight. Okay. The Bengals.
Yeah. They're going to win the AFC North, and that's Benton all we're going to talk about for like a week until they get knocked out of the playoffs.
Anything else that we need to talk about?
No, because we'll be back here in 20 hours talking about two more games. Oh, my God.
Do you guys, have you seen the AFC North standings today?
Who's in first?
The Cincinnati.
I'll tell you what, text me a picture of those AFC North standings. Text me a link to an illegal stream for Seahawks-Rams, because apparently it's not gonna be on, it's not nationally televised. What is this?
Well, that means we can't talk about it.
How do you move two games to Tuesday? And
gotta,
not just
got to grab someone's Sunday ticket password, Brenton.
I thought we were safe moving to YouTube TV. How do you not move one to Fox? Like, one's on Fox and one's on NFL Network. Makes no sense.
Because Fox wants that cash.
What cash?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about this now. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
All right.
Complain about it when it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Good show, Brenton. Reach Wilson. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.